Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Louise Schiavone. Panic and death following a riot after an Indonesian soccer match. In East Java, authorities say at least 170 people died in a violent crush of people stampeding to exit a stadium filled with tear gas. NPR's John Ruwitch has details.
The match was held in the city of Malang, several hundred miles east of the capital, Jakarta. According to reports, thousands of supporters of the losing side stormed the pitch in anger when their team lost. Video footage shows security forces trying to control the crowd with batons and shields. Police also fired tear gas, which sparked panic. Spectators rushed to the exits, where many were crushed. The top league in Indonesia has suspended games for a week, and the National Soccer Association is investigating the tragedy. John Ruwitch, NPR News, Shanghai.
First responders in Florida are using boats and helicopters to rescue people who remain stranded in the aftermath of Hurricane Ian. Utility crews are also working to restore service to more than a million people in the state. NPR's Greg Allen reports flooding has subsided on one river and authorities have reopened Interstate 75.
The Myakka River began rising Thursday because of heavy rain deposited over the state by Hurricane Ian. It reached a new record high, more than 2 feet above major flood stage. Neighborhoods in Sarasota and Charlotte counties that escaped flooding during the storm have since had to evacuate. Monique Davis lives in Arcadia, where helicopters were being used to rescue residents trapped by flooding on the Peace River.
The people that live right on the river have stilt houses, but they only go so high, you know, and the river is way up.
Other communities have also been flooded in central and northwest Florida from Ian's record rainfall. Greg Allen, NPR News, St. Petersburg, Florida.
President Biden this week will travel to Puerto Rico and to Florida to survey the aftermath of the Category 4 hurricane. 47 storm-related deaths have been confirmed in Florida, hundreds of thousands without power. And on the barrier islands, people remain cut off, not only without electricity, but also without drinking water and in many cases without homes. John Conforti of Pine Island says the water was unrelenting.
The water was at least eight to 10 feet high for sure.
And Sean McCaffrey rode out the hurricane through the storm's worst. He says he wouldn't recommend it.
I should have left. I shouldn't have stayed. If I had to do it again, I wouldn't have stayed.
First responders and Good Samaritans are going door to door on Pine Island, offering to evacuate residents. Addressing the public in St. Peter's Square today, Pope Francis appealed to Russian President Putin to, quote, stop this spiral of violence and death in Ukraine. In his strongest appeal yet since the start of the seven-month war, the Pope also denounced what he called the absurd risk of nuclear war. This is NPR News in Washington. An arrest warrant has been issued for the former Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan. The move escalates political tensions that have been roiling the country for months. From Islamabad, NPR's Dia Hadid reports.
In a tweet, a police spokesman said they issued the warrant to ensure that Khan appears in court for his next hearing. But it wasn't immediately clear which hearing they were referring to. Khan is facing multiple cases against him, including one for insulting a judge. In response to the warrant, a senior member of Khan's party tweeted a picture of the former prime minister feeding dogs outside of his palatial home, looking unruffled. Even so, Khan's supporters said they were rushing to his home to defend him from arrest. Khan was ousted from power in April in a no-confidence motion. He claims, without evidence, that he was the victim of an American-led coup, and he's been demanding early elections as his popularity surges around the country. Dia Hadid, NPR News, Islamabad.
Two nephews of the wife of Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro have been released in a prisoner swap between the U.S. and Venezuela. The men had been jailed in the U.S. on drug smuggling convictions. In exchange, Venezuela has freed seven Americans imprisoned there. Five oil executives are among the Americans released by Venezuela in the largest trade of detained citizens ever carried out by the Biden administration. The five had been imprisoned in Venezuela for 5 years. Their release follows months of talks, included repeated visits to Venezuela over the last year by officials. I'm Luis Schiavone, NPR News, Washington.